And you're joining us in Main Street Book Club with Charles Montgomery, professor in the English Interpretation and Translation Department at Dongguk University and the founder of the website ktlit.com. Morning, Charles.
Good morning.
So I understand we're going to talk about North Korean literature. Well, literature about North Korea. Is there such a thing as North Korean literature?
That's well, there question. Is. This is the result, actually, I should back it up a little. This is the result of a Facebook conversation I've been having with Chris Lee, the author of Drifting House, who, if anyone who's interested in this topic should also Google her article that was recently published by Penn, because we overlap quite a great deal. We went back and forth for about a week with ideas. And the thing was, we both realized that when you go out to the English-speaking community and ask them what they know about Korea, they certainly know about North Korea. They know some events. They know some histories. They know some leaders. But there really is no literature out there. There's nothing to read. And you asked, is there this literature? Well, yes, there is this literature within North Korea. But I've actually I've edited some translations of it. But it doesn't tend to get translated for a couple reasons. One, I don't see that North Korea has a real large desire that I can see to translate into English. And second, what is translated is, well, it's primarily sort of revolutionary fables.
Yeah.
You know, Stalinist in a way. The story of the one brave man who sticks his finger in the dike or increases production of rabbit tail coats by 0.05% and wins the revolution.
I would think it's mostly propaganda.
Yeah, it's really not very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So in the course of this conversation, we just started kicking around ways that you could get sort of into North Korea through literature, and we came up with essentially two different categories. There's the category of those works that are written by English speakers, mm-hmm. Westerners, and that interested us a little, but we were much more interested in the second category, which was the category of Korean authors who deal with this. And I'll start with the two authors right now who are the Westerners.
Okay.
And you may have heard of one of them. Adam Johnson from Stanford just published a book called The Orphan Master's Son.
Mm-hmm.
And this got some critical buzz.
Okay.
And the other, there's a series by James Church, the Inspector O novels, which are actually crime procedurals that take place, four of them, I believe, in North Korea.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Church is a well-respected author, and he has some background. That name is the pseudonym of what they identify as a, quote, former Western intelligence officer with decades of experience in Asia.
Oh.
So, yeah. So he at least has – and the expectation or the sort of buzz is that was in South Korea.
Okay.
Someone who worked in
mm-hmm.
South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And those novels have been well-received. They're nuanced and detailed, and they also sort of reproduce the sort of vibe, for lack of a better word, mm-hmm. that we normally have about North Korea. That's the totalitarian state, and it's suffocatingness. And of course, it's also genre fiction, so it's had a little bit of success.
Inspector O, it's called, huh?
Yes, Inspector O is a North Korean policeman.
I
see. Police detective.
Okay.
And then the second one is the one that just came out, and it's been a little more arguable, although it's been generally well reviewed. It's Adam Johnson's The Orphan Master's Son, and Adam Johnson, I gather, has visited North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
But he did most of his work on this at Stanford. He's a Stanford professor. And there has been some blowback, and the blowback has tended to be from people who are more familiar with Korea in general. For instance, the London Korea Lynx reviewed it and really, really didn't like it. So I think there's a kind of a split there, that it's a good story, but I think that the closer you get to North Korea, maybe geographically and intellectually, the less satisfying it is.
How come?
Well, I think the main thing is because it's very, very difficult for a foreigner who even comes and lives here, like, say, James Church theoretically did.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult. It's a long learning process to get used to the culture and to get used to the meanings of things. And this is even more difficult with respect to North Korea mm-hmm. because, well, if you're from the United States, technically speaking, you can't get there.
Right.
Although there are ways to do that.
Very little is known about life inside North Korea anyway.
Well, you know, if you were up early, as I know you were, Googling today, some French photographer there for the missile thing just got like 8 new photos of mm-hmm. North Korea, and it's shot all over the web. Oh my God, photos of actual North Korea.
Yeah.
So the other thing is that Johnson's story is, and many of these stories are, Johnson's story is kind of harrowing. It's the Pundan Munhak style of horrible thing, horrible thing, horrible thing, horrible thing. And it's also a little teeny bit convoluted. So you can start there, but I would suggest, and I think that Chris, I don't mean to speak for Chris Lee, you might want to start somewhere else.
Okay. So if you want to read about North Korea in fiction, what would you recommend?
Well, I'm going to start with Chris Lee because she was so helpful in this. And as you know, we talked about her new book, Drifting House.
Yeah.
And within that book, Drifting House, is the story Drifting House, which is super short, only 15 pages. But in that story, Lee does just an outstanding job. Sometimes hallucinatory. It's very surreal at moments,
mm-hmm.
but very, very clear job of describing Korea in the context of three siblings, two brothers and a young sister attempting to escape to China. And it just really gives you the mood of the thing. And there's an event in that story that really lets you know how desperate things are. And so that's a really good start. And her book is also a really good start in general to Korean literature.
Mm-hmm.
And then my old friend Kim Jung-ha. Kim Jung-ha, your Republic is Calling You, or Empire of Light in mm-hmm. Korean, is the story of a North Korean spy. He's been embedded in South Korea for most of his life, and he's become a Heineken-drinking, car-driving, pot-bellied, you know, a sort of a, you might say, somewhere between Ajashi and Halmoni. And he gets the call. He gets a call, a coded call, that it's time for him to come back. And this casts him into a he gets nostalgic, maybe it's not perhaps the right word, but he starts to reminisce about how he got to where he is. And mm-hmm. a lot of that reminiscence takes place in South Korea, but a lot of it also takes place in North Korea, including a scene I think that everyone who read and reviewed this book loved, where he goes through his training, and he is trained in an underground facility that is a North Korean reproduction of Seoul.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has all the things that you don't have in North Korea. And in this story, you know, it's a spy story. Kim Jung-ha is commenting all the way through about sort of the differences between expectation and perception of both North Korea and South Korea and reality. In North Korea, he's talking about this sort of you don't have the material existence that you have here. And in here, he's talking about the lack of spiritual existence, that people are sort of subsumed by things, mm-hmm. you know, myeongpum, what have you.
Yeah.
And in a way, it's a lot like a story. Oh, I can't remember. I think it's called Village Square Country Town, an older story in Korean literature that addresses these things. But it really does give you a little glimpse back at his life in North Korea.
Mm. Why are these particular works focused on North Korea? And why should we believe that they're better?
Yeah, I would say better, but not everyone would necessarily say better. I would say closer.
Mm-hmm.
I think, as I mentioned, that as Koreans, both Chris Lee and Kim Jung-ha are more attuned to the ongoing reality of North Korea. And the other interesting thing about both Kim Jung-ha and Chris Lee is they have substantial experience with North Korea, particularly with North Korean refugees.
Defectors.
Defectors,
yeah.
Yes, yeah. Defectors. And Chris Lee has volunteered for many, many years and raised funds to assist North Korean defectors. And in fact, there's a story, just recently there was a story in the local newspapers here in Seoul about her relationship with a particular defector who she essentially worked all the way through China, through some, you know, maybe some oppression in China, and got into Korea and has sort of mainstreamed. So she has a history of sort of listening to stories in Korean.
Right. Doing research as well for her stories.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think she would not call it research, but because I think this is something she does out of the goodness of her heart.
Yeah.
But in essence, it is research. And Kim Jung-ha, similarly, when he came time to write the book, he went a little different way. He actually advertised online in Seoul that he wanted to talk to defectors and would pay. And when I talked to him a couple years ago when he was here in Seoul, he said the response was immediate. The defectors were looking to tell
their
story.
Stories. Of course, he could afford to do that as well.
Well, it helps to be Kim Jung-ha, I think. And so in these stories, you get a sense that there's some real long-term cultural knowledge and friction that goes into the work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I heard that Chris Lee and Kim Jung-ha actually were fans of each other's work.
Yeah, I think they are. They have met at least once in New York, uh-huh. and their themes are similar. And I also think that they're both an interesting kind of new writer in Korea. They're kind of that international writer who's trying to bridge the gap, if you will, between Korea and the rest of the world. And so they probably share some happy experiences and some mm-hmm. unfortunate experiences. But yeah, I know at least that they have sat down and discussed this kind of thing. Yeah. And I know that they've discussed those two works we just talked about.
Okay, so Chris Lee and Kim Yong-ha are good places to start. What other books are out there?
Well, I'll go quickly because we're about to run out of time here. But there are a couple of good ones. There's Gia, a novel of North Korea. And Gia, a novel of North Korea, is the story. This is a very Korean story. It's the story of somebody whose ancestors have committed some sin against the government, and the sin of the ancestors is visited upon the children. And in this case, it's a woman who's sent to the gulag, smuggled out of it eventually, but then has to spend the rest of her life kind of hiding from that past. And of course, this is a story that Lee Mun-yeol has told. This is a story that the famous Rain Hat poet Kim Sak-hak actually lived through. This is a very, very Korean story. And also, I should say again, Kim Hye-jin, who wrote this, also has worked with defectors. So this is another person who has hands-on. The writing can be a little bit choppy. There was no listed translator that I saw, so it may be a case of somebody who was actually writing in English.
Oh, okay.
But it's a good story to give you a sense of that. And then also I mentioned Lee Mun-yeol. His Appointment with My Brother is a classic book that's available in the KT Lit Jimundong Portable Library of Korean Fiction series. It's the story of a son who tries to go back to North Korea to visit his dying father, can't make it in time to meet his father, so instead meets his brother, who has lived in North Korea all his life, in China, and the kind of interaction they go through. And it's an amusing personal story of the political tension, because when the brothers meet, there's not just a sort of sibling rivalry, but there's the my country is better than your country rivalry that plays out. It's a serious book, but it's funny in places where Lee Mun-yeol really, really plays the, oh yeah, my country card. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good one. And again, that's in the Portable Library of Korean Fiction.
So the themes here are kind of running along the same lines. Unhappy life in North Korea, plus like family separations.
Yeah, and I will say, though, these are a bit more subtle than, say, the North Korean fiction that I mentioned at the outset, in which everything is golden.
Yeah.
And then there are a couple of other things that I'll mention really, really quickly. Two stories from the Portable Library of Korean Fiction. Again, these are inexpensive, 5 or 6 chun new. And that's The Rainy Season and With Her Oil Lamp On That Night. And again, these are the separation stories.
Mm-hmm.
These are the stories of families that have been split because of history. Of course, that's a very common thing in Korean literature. You can't avoid it. And these are good ways as a Westerner to get introduced to this.
The Rainy Season?
The Rainy Season.
With Her Oil Lamp On.
With Her Oil Lamp On. And the last one I will just mention, last two are Obaltan, Spray Bullet. Spray Bullet. You can also get an excellent movie for that one. And if you want to see something funny, a story called Kapitan Ri, which is only in collections, but it's the story about a survivor who manages to survive Russians, Chinese, U.S., North Korean, South Korean, and it touches a little bit on the differences of all of those places. So
great. I hope we've given some ideas to people out there who want to read about North Korea, not necessarily in North Korean literature, but literature about North Korea anyway.
Yep, great. And I would say go to ktlit.com this evening, and we'll have links to some of these stories online.
Awesome. Thanks very much, Charles. See you again soon.
My pleasure.
Charles Montgomery from Dongguk University and ktlit.com with Main Street Book Club, talking about literature through which we can get a glimpse into life in North Korea. And we're going to wrap up this segment with a song from the movie Sheedy, which was, of course, about North Korea and South Korea. It's Carole Kidd, When I Dream.
Paris, it's at my beckon.